I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband and more than automatically concerned. Obviously, this happened before for an extended period of time. And, you know, I don't know what's happening. And I don't know if I need to be concerned or not. You know, there was an obvious concern last time. Because, you know, it's fascinating. I listen to, you know, I follow several subjects, and there are obviously a number of individuals or small groups pointing out the various fallacies around the COVID-19 or COVID-1984, as it's called, because clearly, you know, I said over a year ago, the objective is money, power, and eugenics. And it's money for you know, the mid-level management, people who can, you can stroke their egos and they can make some additional money because it's an opportunity. And I think that's happening to a large scale. And you use those people for the people who simply want control. And this increases control for a lot of people. And obviously, eugenics is a big deal. I find it fascinating, you know, because I stated eugenics. And what is the issue that's being discussed right now is one of the vaccines, whichever one it is. Apparently it does accumulate something not pleasant in the body once you have it, specifically in the ovaries. And so there is more evidence that the impact is, as I said over a year ago, to get your progeny, to keep people from reproducing. That is the method that is used. Because if I want to take over a large quantity of people, if I go down the streets and start shooting them, they're going to shoot back. If I encourage them to not reproduce, I win. It's happening right in front of your face. It's happening. And, you know, I wonder about my own family. Because, you know, obviously, Erica Lee has made the statement about she's got one, that's it. She's done. So, you know, and of course, obviously, I subscribe to, well, see, I know that apparently my family, I'm guessing, still subscribes to the institution, but obviously the Bible is just a quaint book, you know, because you know, that little issue, that Genesis 1, the more I've studied it, there's a whole lot of things in there besides, you know, figuring out what happened on which days. There's a whole lot of other things in that passage, in that chapter, including, obviously, God's first command to man to be fruitful and multiply, which, you know, That's what made me less welcome than before in the pro-life community. Because it's so easy to impose on others, but to live in obedience to Christ yourself, no. I'm too righteous. I impose on others, and I can salve my conscience from the things that I do to ignore Christ's direct command to me. You know, like the idea of love and reconciliation and whatnot. That's the way of the world, and that's the way of the institutional church. It's most unfortunate. I just a quick comment, because when I sent the pictures about the our hike up to Cloudland, and when I talked with Chris the day afterwards. One of the things he said, because I mentioned to you about the going up those steps. I mean, this was a lot of steps, and I went up quick. And he said that he said Saturday that I seem to be his word was extremely competitive. And I found that interesting because obviously, I couldn't outdo even a modest runner, but obviously I can do the steps. He kept up pretty good with me, because he's in better shape than most. He's a young guy. He's only 59. But there's another area I'm competitive on. Trying to restore my family. You might notice that. One last thought. I did, in one of the things that I listened to today, it was related to the issues around the pandemic, the COVID 1984, this catastrophe that is being used to cause a catastrophe. Because anyway, but I've heard from several people that the medical industry, if you get into the medical industry, whether it's, you know, doctors, nurses, or other things, they teach you about, the allopathic medicine, and those kind of things, what pills to issue and so forth. Very little do they teach you about nutrition. So the idea that nutrition and so forth has an impact, the medical community won't help you on that. But, especially, apparently, what I heard today is that there have been studies on what are the things you do besides nutrition, that will help you keep healthy. Number one, walking. And, I think that's probably why I'm healthy. And what concerns me is on the oddity, because it's the number of people who actually know me. I meet people and say, oh, you're the guy that, I've had several people come up to me and say, you're the guy I see walking either so far or so fast, one or the other. A bunch of people have said this because I'm an oddity, whereas I should be the norm. Because, again, if apparently in one measurement, that is the thing that'll make you keep you healthy, besides nutrition and so forth. Number two thing, social interaction. Without that, and that's where you see, that's why, because of the lockdowns, the suicide rates, drug use and so forth have just gone up rather noticeably. And so in a sense, you can say, yeah, they died of COVID-19 because they killed themselves because they could no longer interact with the people. I've seen pictures someplace, I think it was in Greece, or Italy. They put together these rooms where you have a plastic sheet and kind of glove holes through them. So you can go hug grandma, literally, through using plastic gloves. You can't touch her. It's genocide. It really is. And, I really wonder. I'm grateful, for example, when I hike with Chris, when I go see Lynn, Gary, Mike, Ralph, the Birdman, and other people, or see people interact with them at the farmer's market. I'll do that in the morning. And we have an interaction because we know each other. I'm grateful to have that. But the one I should have the most is my own family. And I do think it has an impact on me. And I wonder what kind of impact it has on my family. What kind of impact does it have, especially my young kids? Their dad is trying to reconcile the family. And they're being isolated from their dad. What does it do to their kids? What does it say about those who isolate their dad from their kids? It's not an act of love. It is clearly, beyond question, not an act of love to deny the dad access to his kids. Lord, Lord, didn't we do all sorts of wonderful things in your name? My lady, I love you.